Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're unlocking the hidden stories and maybe some surprising value within your jewelry box. Mm-hmm. Here's a thought. How many of us are unknowingly sitting on, well, significant capital, tucked away in sparkling diamond pieces?
Right.
We cherish diamonds for their beauty, their sentiment, their luxury, but how often do we really think about their tangible, loanable worth?
It's a perspective many overlook, I think. We're often just captivated by the look and the emotional connection, you know?
Yeah.
But the idea of them as genuine, leverageable assets, capable of providing immediate capital, well, that often remains a bit of a surprise. Mm-hmm. These aren't just heirlooms or fashion statements. They actually hold real economic power.
Absolutely. So our deep dive today is into the fascinating world of luxury pawnbroking, specifically looking at diamond jewelry.
Okay.
We're going to uncover which types of diamond pieces are most sought after for securing loans, and really importantly, how their value is determined.
Yeah, the how is key.
Exactly. And our mission for you listening goes beyond just the monetary side. It's about understanding the intricate factors that make diamonds such a compelling asset.
Right.
You'll get a shortcut to being truly well-informed, identifying the critical elements pawnbrokers look at. We'll try to cut through the sparkle, reveal some surprising facts and practical insights that will hopefully let you look at your diamonds with entirely new eyes. Let's unpack this.
Yeah, definitely. It's really about empowering you with a deeper appreciation for your pieces, seeing them not just for how stunning they look,
right,
but for the inherent economic significance they carry.
Precisely. So let's kick things off by exploring some specific diamond pieces. We can move from the sort of everyday wear to the truly extraordinary.
Sounds good.
And first up, diamond earrings. We know these have adorned people since ancient times, initially just for royalty, really. Mm-hmm. That history kind of grounds their enduring high value even today, doesn't it?
That's a powerful point. Mm-hmm. Historically, they were a real marker of status. And what's interesting is how that's evolved.
How so?
Well, today, diamond earrings are everywhere. You know, simple studs people wear daily, elegant drops for occasions, sometimes even pairs just kept hidden away, yeah, unworn.
And the sheer variety is astounding. Sleek and modern, or antique with a unique history.
Yeah.
Maybe even echoing pieces worn by historical figures. They can be set in platinum, gold, feature different cuts, brilliant modern rounds, or those charming European old cuts with the irregular facets.
And this huge range of styles in history is exactly why you really need an in-person valuation. It's essential.
Why is that?
Because the value isn't fixed. It can swing dramatically. You might have a beautiful pair of good quality diamond studs valued around, say, 300 pounds.
Okay.
But then you could have a pair with large, rare diamonds set in white gold. And suddenly you could be looking at tens of thousands.
Wow. And to really illustrate that extreme end, there's this amazing example. Back in 2017, a pair of non-matching pink and blue pear-shaped diamond earrings.
Oh, I remember these. Apollo and Artemis.
That's them. They sold at Sotheby's in Geneva for a combined, get this, U.S. $57.4 million.
Incredibly.
They were bought separately, but by the same buyer. The blue one, 14.54 carats, went for over $42 million.
Just stunning.
And the pink one fetched over U.S. $15 million. It's truly astounding what value can be hidden away.
That sale really shows the absolute peak of diamond rarity and market demand, doesn't it?
It really does.
Now, moving to another piece lots of people cherish, diamond necklaces. Mm-hmm. Here, the quality of the individual stones isn't just a luxury. It's the bedrock of their financial worth.
Okay, so how do things like a diamond size and purity really affect a necklace's value? And why is that expert eye so critical for getting a fair loan price?
Well, the fluctuations are pretty significant. Take the Farnese Blue Diamond, for instance.
Okay.
It sold for an incredible $6,713,837 in 2018. Its amazing value wasn't just its size. It was its rarity and its deep historical significance.
Ah, the story behind it.
Exactly. It had been kept within royal families for centuries, largely unseen by the public. So its reemergence was a huge event, driving up interest and value.
Yeah.
These examples really highlight that while the setting and the provenance add layers of value, at the heart of every diamond's worth are these fundamental characteristics.
And that brings us neatly to what bond brokers call the four C's, right?
Precisely. This is the foundational framework they use to assess pretty much every diamond.
Ah, the famous four C's. So beyond the dazzling stories and huge prices, these are the sort of the hard facts of valuation.
That's it. Understanding clarity, cut, color, and carat is absolutely essential if you want to grasp a diamond's intrinsic worth. They're like its DNA.
Let's dive into each one then. First, clarity. When we talk about clarity, what exactly are pawnbrokers looking for? Are truly flawless diamonds just a myth, or?
Well, truly flawless diamonds are exceptionally rare. Because diamonds form naturally deep in the earth, most have some kind of imperfection. These can be surface things like blemishes, chips, or marks. Or they can be internal defects known as inclusions.
Inclusions, like what?
Tiny trapped minerals, maybe little air bubbles, that sort of thing. Pawnbrokers meticulously look at the severity, size, location, and type of these flaws.
Right.
The fewer and smaller they are, especially if you can't see them with the naked eye, the higher the clarity grade. And naturally, the higher the loan value.
That makes perfect sense. Okay, next up is cut. How much does the skill of the cut really dictate a diamond's sparkle? Is it as simple as it sounds, or is there more to it?
It's both, really.
Yeah.
Intuitive and complex. A diamond's cut is absolutely paramount to its brilliance. You know, how well it reflects light.
The sparkle factor.
Exactly. It's not just about the shape, like round or square.
Yeah.
It's the precision of the facets, their angles, their proportions.
Ah, the geometry.
Precisely.
Huh.
An expertly cut diamond maximizes that sparkle because it allows light to enter, bounce around inside, and reflect back out, creating that fire we love.
Mm.
The classification ranges from ideal, that's the best brilliance, down to poor, with grades like excellent, very good, good, and fair in between. It's a real art determining how that diamond plays with light.
Fascinating. And then there's color. I always kind of assumed truly colorless diamonds were the absolute best, the most valuable. Is that always true?
For what we call white diamonds, predominantly yes. Truly colorless diamonds are exceptionally rare, and so they command the highest prices.
Right.
Most diamonds that look colorless to, you know, the average person actually have subtle hints of white or yellow. The closer a diamond is to being absolutely colorless, the better it reflects light, and that significantly increases its value.
Mm-hmm.
However, and here's where it gets really interesting.
Oh.
We also have fancy color diamonds. Vibrant oranges, blues, pinks.
Like the Apollo and Artemis ones.
Exactly. These are also incredibly rare, sometimes even rarer than top colorless stones. And because they're so unique and desirable, they can command even higher loan values. It's the paradox of rarity playing out across different color spectrums.
The paradox of rarity. I like that. That's a great distinction. And finally, the last C carat. This refers to weight, right?
That's right. Carat is simply the standard unit of weight for diamonds.
Mm.
1 carat is 0.2 grams.
Okay.
Generally, a higher carat weight means a larger stone, which often translates to greater value. Makes sense.
But I sense a but coming.
But. And this is the crucial nuance that ties all the C's together. A larger stone, say 2 carats, with lower clarity, maybe a poor cut, or an undesirable yellowish color, could actually be worth less than the smaller 1 carat stone that has exceptional quality across the other 3 C's.
Okay.
They're all interdependent. It creates a kind of holistic valuation. You can't just look at 1 C in isolation.
So it's never just about size alone. It's the whole package, the symphony of all 4 C's playing together. That's a really critical insight. Now, let's talk about diamond rings. These often carry huge emotional weight, obviously, but they also represent significant financial capital. They seem like a solid asset for securing loans.
Without a doubt. Engagement or wedding rings, especially, embody both that deep sentimental value and often substantial capital value. They are a very tangible asset.
Mm-hmm.
And to illustrate the potential here, think about the pink legacy diamond.
Another pink one.
Yes. An 18.96 carat pink diamond with such exceptional purity of color, it broke world records. Sold for over $50 million at Christie's in 2018.
Just breathtaking. These pink diamonds really make headlines. Now, when it comes to valuing rings, especially pieces with such personal significance, pawnbrokers must look beyond just the 4 C's of the main stone, surely.
Oh, definitely. Beyond the stone's inherent characteristics, they look at a whole range of other factors.
Such as?
Well, the type of gemstones involved. Are there side stones? What are they? Where was it originally bought? Who made it the manufacturer? Any documentation you have, original receipts, certificates, that's really helpful. It's current market value, naturally. How similar pieces have sold recently, say, at auction.
Okay.
The type of precious metal used for the ring itself, platinum, gold, what carat, and importantly, how bespoke or desirable the actual design is.
Ah, the design itself. So like a mass-produced or very trend-led piece might not hold its value as much as, say, a genuine antique ring or a custom-designed one-off creation.
Precisely. That's often the case. The overall craftsmanship and the uniqueness of the design can add a significant premium, sometimes quite separate from the raw materials.
It's really about the artistry and uniqueness, then, not just the stone.
Exactly. The whole piece tells a story.
Now, taking that kind of granular view, let's explore how different cuts and types of diamonds themselves inherently spark significant value. We can't cover every single one, obviously, but let's maybe highlight a few interesting examples that show different aspects of worth.
Sure.
For instance, blue diamonds. They're famous for being incredibly expensive, aren't they?
They really are. Exceedingly rare, very expensive, and always in high demand. Their natural color comes from tiny traces of boron trapped inside the diamond as it forms.
Boron, okay.
And typically, the darker, more vivid blue diamonds fetch the highest prices. Remember the Blue Moon of Josephine, sold for 37,396,080 pounds back in 2015.
That's just a staggering figure.
It really is. That rarity, plus their unique chemistry, creates a very exclusive market.
And speaking of incredible stories, there was a cushion-cut diamond. That's the square cut with rounded corners, right? Looks kind of like a pillow.
That's the one. They often appear a bit larger face-up than other cuts of the same carat weight.
Well, apparently one was bought for just 10 pounds at a London junk sale. Someone thought it was costume jewelry.
No way.
Yeah, and it later sold for 657,000 pounds at Sotheby's.
That is a truly remarkable find. It just underscores the hidden potential sometimes lurking in old jewelry boxes.
Isn't it just a reminder that true value isn't always obvious?
Absolutely. Then you have emerald-cut diamonds. They're quite unique. They only make up about 3% of the world's diamonds.
Only 3%? Wow.
Yeah. They're admired for that sort of vintage look and their distinct sparkle. It's more like flashes of light or a hall of mirrors effect rather than the fiery brilliance of a round cut.
Right.
That scarcity, combined with their strong, elegant lines, gives them a unique desirability on the market.
And pink diamonds, you mentioned the Pink Legacy earlier. What makes them so incredibly sought after? Is it just the color?
It's primarily the extreme rarity. Pink diamonds are among the most in-demand gems globally because only about 0.1% of diamonds mined each year turn out to be pink.
0.1%. That's tiny.
It's incredibly small. And what's even more fascinating is that scientists still aren't completely sure why they're pink.
Really?
Yeah, unlike blue diamonds with boron, pinks don't seem to contain impurities causing the color. The leading theory suggests it's due to some kind of rare stress or deformation in the crystal structure itself as it formed, like the pressure twisted the molecule somehow.
A scientific mystery wrapped in beauty. That's wild.
It really is. And that enigma just adds to their allure and value.
Okay, one more quick one. When it comes to actually securing a loan, pawnbrokers often express a clear preference for GIA-certified diamonds. Why is that specific certification so important?
Well, GIA, that's the Gemological Institute of America, is basically the gold standard globally for diamond grading.
Right.
Their certificate provides an impartial, expert, and authoritative assessment of a diamond's four Cs: cut, color, clarity, and carat weight.
So it takes the guesswork out.
Exactly. For pawnbrokers, that GIA cert acts like a reliable passport for the diamond. It makes the valuation process much more streamlined and trustworthy.
Right.
It removes ambiguity, provides confidence in the stone's stated qualities, and therefore solidifies its loan value.
That makes perfect sense. It's like having an unbiased expert opinion right there in your hand. So, okay, moving beyond just the individual stones, what about valuing an entire piece of diamond jewelry, like a collection or a specific necklace or brooch? What are the general criteria a pawnbroker considers for the whole piece?
Well, connecting this to the bigger picture, the brand or manufacturer becomes incredibly important, especially if the piece actually bears a signature.
Like a famous name.
Precisely. A brand like Cartier isn't just a label. It signifies a certain level of craftsmanship, a distinct design heritage, a historical legacy that instantly elevates a piece's loan value.
So it's worth more than just the materials.
Often, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Considerably more sometimes. The brand itself adds a layer of value. And other prominent luxury houses like Boodles, Graff, Bulgari, Van Cleef & Arpels, mm-hmm. Tiffany & Co., they all carry similar weight.
So a ring isn't just a diamond ring. It might be a Cartier diamond ring, and that makes a difference.
A big difference. And then there's the material the diamond is set in.
Right, the metal.
Even small variations in the setting material can significantly impact value. It takes a really discerning eye.
Mm-hmm.
Antique and collector's jewelry, for instance, is highly desirable, partly due to its scarcity. Less availability almost always means higher value, assuming the quality and condition are there.
Okay. And specific metals.
Well, for precious metals, platinum usually stands out as the rarest and most valuable. That's down to its unique chemical properties, its density, its durability.
And gold.
Gold's value is determined by its carat, as you probably know, from 9-act up to 24 ceased. The higher the carat, the purer the gold, and generally the more valuable it is.
Makes sense.
And of course, beyond diamonds, other precious stones like rubies, sapphires, and emeralds. They're often called the big four desirable stones. Each adds its own layer of value to a piece.
It really sounds like a whole ecosystem of value surrounding the main gem. And speaking of certification, again, you mentioned GIA for individual diamonds, but what about for other gemstones or entire pieces? Are there similar reports?
Yes. For many fine gemstones, not just diamonds, lab reports are increasingly common.
What do they show?
They'll detail things like color, cut, clarity, weight, any treatments the stone might have had, and sometimes even the stone's origin where it was mined.
Ah, origin matters too.
It can, definitely. Beyond GIA, other highly respected certification bodies include HRD, that's the Diamond High Council, and Gubelin Gem Lab.
Okay.
And yes, certain gemstones, like maybe a Burmese ruby or a Kashmir sapphire, can attract a significant premium if their origin can be traced to that specific renowned country or mine. It adds a layer of provenance, a story.
Which influences value.
Exactly.
This truly requires experts with a keen eye for both the science and the history, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And talking about expertise, it's maybe worth mentioning a fascinating figure in this world, David Sonnenthal. He founded New Bond Street Pawnbrokers.
Oh, yes. Know the name.
His background is pretty unusual for a pawnbroker. He was actually a successful actor, even won the Big Perrier Award at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Then he pivoted completely into pawnbroking, became a real pioneer in the UK luxury side of things, and was even one of the resident dealers on that Channel 4 show, Four Rooms.
Wow, Four Rooms. That's quite the career path.
Isn't it? It just goes to show that deep expertise can sometimes bloom from the most unexpected places.
That's a wonderful example. You know, his theatrical background probably sharpens his ability to connect with clients, understand the unique stories behind their possessions.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which, as we've discussed, is often crucial in really assessing an item's full worth beyond just the specs.
Well, this deep dive has truly lit up the fact that diamond valuation is complex, yes, but it's also understandable once you get a grip on the four C's and these other factors,
mm-hmm.
like craftsmanship, brand legacy, historical significance. It's about recognizing both the beauty, the intrinsic beauty, and the inherent tangible value.
Absolutely. It's more than just sparkly rocks, isn't it? It's a tangible link to geology, history, artistry, personal stories.
Mm-hmm.
And often, yes, significant capital. Every facet tells a story.
And every story contributes to its worth.
Precisely.
Absolutely. So a final thought for you to ponder. Now that you understand a bit more about the many facets giving diamonds their incredible value, what hidden stories, or perhaps even fortunes, might be waiting to be rediscovered in your own jewelry collection? Or maybe among pieces passed down through your family?
Good question.
How does understanding a diamond's journey from deep inside the earth to being cut, set, maybe worn by generations, and its potential as a financial asset, how does that deepen its significance beyond just being something beautiful to wear?
Something definitely worth thinking about.
Something truly worth pondering, isn't it?